It's episode number 9 of Mrs. Impossible. Hello, hello, hello. And I'll let you know that it's 11 o'clock p.m. on the last day of 2020. I came from the gym not too long ago, ate a ton of food, all high protein to go with my diet. And now I'm here chatting with you. I was invited to a few parties, but I've stayed home. I'll wait to talk about that until the right segment. So you know I have segments to this show. And today, I think our segments are going to be, clearly, always fresh picked thoughts. And then I think we're going to have a cleanup segment. Cleanup. Because there's something I said in my last episode, and I don't remember at the moment what it was. But there was something that I said, oh, I got to go back and say something about that to clean that up. So we'll do cleanup. We'll do Fresh Pick Thoughts. And you know what we'll also do? We're going to do Swiping with Cindy. Swiping with Cindy is back. It's back. And I'm so excited. I will not apologize. I will not apologize for dating and all of that being in every episode, because it is the thing that excites me the most. It is the topic that I find, well, okay, is it the most fascinating? It is the most exciting topic. Romance. That amazing chemistry between two people. What the heck is even happening in our brains when that happens? Please, someone tell me. But anyway, so that's what we'll do today. Okay, 3 segments. Let's get started with, you know what, let's get started with the cleanup segment. Okay, it's a cleanup segment. And the thing that I have to clean up is kind of hilarious. But I talked about in the last episode how I haven't really done drugs, maybe tried marijuana 10 times in total in my life, high school and then here and there afterwards. But I said how green tea is like a drug to me. And I really only know the effect of marijuana, so I can't really compare it to hardcore drugs that other people seem to be trying. But if I could imagine what one of those drugs feel like, I think that this particular kind of green tea that I have maybe comes close. I don't know. Look, what I wanted to clean up was that it's not just any green tea. It's this particular green tea that I get. And the name of the store is T2, the letter T and then the number 2, in Brisbane, Australia. I get it from there. And I've tried all different kinds of green teas, and they all make me feel a little different. Different forms of it in the bag, just in the little packets, and I've tried different brands of that. And then I tried the matcha, which is crushed leaves into a fine powder, and that really didn't do much for me. And then I tried the leaves, the dried, full leaves, dried, from T2, and I don't know what you call them, flavors, or the way they process it, or what, but it's this particular kind that I am in love with and fascination with, is gunpowder. Is that what it's called? Gunpowder? Hold on. I'm going to walk over and find out if that's what it's called. Hold on. Gunpowder. Is that what it is? Yes, it's gunpowder green. That's what it's called. Can I tell you? I have 1 teaspoon. Wait, teaspoon? Yes, 1.5 teaspoons of gunpowder green in one of those little silver net tea balls where they, you know, you open up the ball and you insert... Not insert, sorry, I just inserted my charging wire into my phone and it made me mess up my words. Okay, insert. You don't insert tea into a ball. You put it in. Anyway, I put about 1.5 teaspoons of this stuff in, and my mind becomes so focused. It feels so clear. So I just wanted to clean up the fact that it's not just any green tea. It's this particular kind of green tea. And I've put so much work and research and money and time into my green tea obsession that it deserved a little clarification, even though it's not too serious of a subject. For some of you, it might be. It might really make your day. One of the other things that the green tea has been doing for me for about an hour or 2 hours, it gives me clear sinuses, which is amazing. I have some kind of blockage on the or in the upper part of my nose, and there was like some kind of many years ago I had a MRI or some kind of scan that showed that something going on up there causing it, and they were going to try some kind of draining surgery, and I said no, and it's not even certain that that would have fixed it. So I've just kind of suffered over the years with this, not being able to fully take a deep breath through my nose most of the day, unless I take a nose spray, which I won't do often because it's either a steroid from the doctor or it's one of those really highly addictive ones from over the counter. And so I have felt stuck, and I have felt, I felt stuck about that for a long time. But I actually talked to a health coach, you know, a personal coach, actually a 24/7 friend, 247friend.org coach. One of them is a health coach, and she's helped me become more aware of the difference that it would make in my life to start addressing that problem. So because of that conversation that I've had with her, I have paid more attention to what is going to clear my nose up. And it's been the green tea. The green tea has been helping. And so I'm trying to have it more and more just to give me more relief of my breathing. And of course, to give me that continued clarity. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Another thing that I found helps with the nose clearing for about an hour, 2 hours, roughly. I haven't actually timed how long it lasts, but is pea protein. Pea protein, just the kind that you put in a protein shake. I found that after I have a pea protein shake, my nasal passages clear up. It's miraculous, just like the green tea. Now, if I had 10 lives, I would do a research project at a university around that and try to find what is the chemical in the green tea and in the pea protein that is giving me this relief in my nose. Okay. So that's my cleanup segment. And I just received a notification that Bitcoin has gone below the price threshold that I wanted to be notified about. But that is a different subject. That's not the cleanup segment. So let me introduce the next segment of the show. So you know from the last episode, if you listen to it, that I just started a fascination with cryptocurrency. This segment is now Fresh Pick Thoughts. So I'm going to talk to you about cryptocurrency because I just got the notification on my phone. It is a purely Fresh Pick Thought. Welcome to Fresh Pick Thoughts. That little notification said, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin is now gone below $36,500 per coin. And, you know, everyone's jumping on this cryptocurrency thing, and you either love it or hate it or don't know what's going on with it. People will warn you, no, it's a waste of time. And people say, yes, but look at how much people are actually making by buying it, waiting, and then selling. A lot of people that I have heard of and know of, people that are good friends of people who I know and respect. Anyway, so I jumped in with just a little tiny bit amount of money, tiny, tiny, tiny bit, compared to what your typical investor would invest. And I'm impressed with myself that rather than being completely addicted to dating apps, because now I'm back on them, when I was off for a little while I was interested in someone and he was interested in me. But now I'm back on the dating apps, and you'd think that I would be obsessively back on them, but now I'm actually more interested genuinely more interested in my cryptocurrency app, just watching the numbers go up and down. I'm still wanting to go to the dating apps, right? But I'm loving and I'm observing my behavior. It's like being the third person in the room, looking at myself recently saying, wow, Cindy, this is fascinating. You are actually going to the cryptocurrency app more than the dating app. Yes. So I just stopped the recording for a second. Now I'm back. So I have, yes, developed recently a fascination and love for cryptocurrency. And I kind of think it might also be a love for just investing in general, which is so strange for me. But I have this obsession with the up and down patterns and wanting to understand the statistics and probabilities of those patterns. We'll see how long this fascination lasts. Is it momentary? Will it stick around? I feel compelled to learn it. I don't know how or when, or if this feeling will last any more than a few more days. We shall see. But I do have some money invested in it now, and I feel it's time to just sit back and watch it. But that's cryptocurrency, not the stock market. And I think I have quite an interest in the stock market. My dad has been telling me over in New York, where he is, that he has been dabbling in the stock market more now than before, because, of course, I assume it's because he has more time now with COVID and all of the lockdown going on and gyms being closed. Thank you, Dad, by the way, for introducing me to the gym a very long time ago. And I didn't start taking it seriously until 3 years ago, but I did go throughout my life, just not as seriously as the past 3 years, but it's because of him. So thank you, Dad. Anyway, yes, cryptocurrency. He's not into that. I think he's into the stock market, and I'm fascinated. I just want to read about the patterns, and I hope they have a for dummies version of it, because I want it explained to me super simple and in a super simple way. That's what I would love. I'm noticing in this episode that I feel more excited than normal. Why do I feel more excited? I did come straight from the gym and had some really great food, high protein, low carb, you know, all within the diet that I'm currently on, which is, everyone's on a diet. You know, the word diet just means, I think etymologically, it just means lifestyle. Everyone's on a diet of some kind. Even if you're not watching what you eat, it's still technically a diet. What is the diet of a culture? You know, you can use the word that way. What some people mean when they say diet, or most people, what they actually mean is I am limiting what I eat. That's not the same thing technically as a diet. Diet just means whatever you eat, your lifestyle, and limiting. Yes, so I would say I'm budgeting. I have been budgeting the macros, the amount of protein, carbs, and fat that I eat, and the calories as well. I've budgeted them, and I have amazing food from one of those companies that make food fresh for you once a week and deliver it to you, and this has been so great. I've loved this lifestyle. I don't like the fact that I'm microwaving the food, but for right now, it's okay. For right now. It's okay for a season to be microwaving the fresh food that was sealed and refrigerated for me. It's fine. It's not frozen. It's not frozen. It's very different if the food was frozen, right? So why am I so excited? Because you know what? Earlier today, the reason why I'm surprised at my excitement is I felt this past few days such emotional dips. And they weren't even dips. It's kind of like my emotions completely go away into this void. And I know it's because of the recent disappointment with my dating that particular gentleman, and the hope that I felt, and the reminder of how it can feel to meet someone who wakes you up inside, and to lose that has just brought me to a place of mourning beyond mourning. Just, I'll say it, I feel like my emotions just gave up, and it's been a struggle at moments the past few days. But then I go to the gym or I do something physically that makes me take good care of myself. So going to the gym has done it the past few days, and it'll lift my emotions back up out of that pit. Or I will do, don't laugh, there are university studies on this, even the University of Pennsylvania, I can send you a link. I will do an affirmation, look myself in the mirror and say something completely awkward, but there is a reprogramming in the brain that happens when you do that. So doing these things have brought me out of the pit and the void and other things as well. Meditation, even just doing 1 minute of that brings me out of the void. But that void place has just been so frequent these past few days. And so I think I'm surprised that I'm feeling excited at this moment while I'm recording this podcast. I just earlier thought, I want to record the podcast, but I don't know how I'm going to feel. But I'm happy that I feel okay right now. I feel pretty good right now. Speaking of emotions, shall I take you on a deep thought with me? I should have a section, a segment called Deep Thoughts. Do you guys know Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy? It's a comedy sketch that I think was on Saturday Night Live many, many years ago. But it is hilarious. And I related to so many of those deep thoughts. But this one's not intended to be funny. This one's just maybe boringly analytical or maybe insightful. But ready for this? What are emotions? What are they? What are they? If you cannot locate them with a microscope, then how do you know they even exist? How can you even call it science if you can't point to something, right? I think that when people say emotions, what they mean, this is my theory, ready? This is very practical. And I would do, again, if I had 10 additional lives, I would do a doctoral thesis on this to prove it, to research it and see if I can prove it. That when we say emotions, what we simply mean is the collection of memories of pain and pleasure, of things that we want to run towards and things that we want to run away from. Think about that. Our brains are like cameras or video recorders, remembering the scenes of different parts of our lives, some of them painful, some of them pleasant. And in every experience, our brain goes back to those memory files of videos and photos in our brain of experiences and says, this experience right now reminds me of this pleasurable experience. So I want more of it. Or this experience right now reminds me of this painful experience. So I want less of it. I want to completely remove myself from it. That's what I believe emotions mean. I believe they refer back to the simple physiological memory of pain or pleasure throughout our life and the collection of all of those experiences of whether we wanted to run away from it, the pain, or invite more of it, the pleasure. And our emotions either go towards or away. And there are towards emotions like love and care and patience. And then there are runaway emotions like hatred and fear and anger. That's pretty deep, guys, wasn't it? And I explained it really simply, didn't I? That's what I believe. And I believe the word spiritual being the same thing. The things that we remember as being painful or pleasant. Actually, well, let me backtrack a little bit. When someone says they are spiritual, I think that just means that they are aware of those pain and pleasure responses more than the person who is not quote unquote spiritual. Spiritual people just mean they're more aware of the running away and the running towards mechanism of the brain. I think these things all day long. I'm trying to understand the universe every day as it goes by. And emotions themselves, my goodness. They are the memories, in my theory, of pain and pleasure. But they also have a direct correlation with the foods we eat. So somehow this has to work into my theory, because the foods you eat can trigger certain pain or pleasure emotions. Like if you're dairy intolerant, it can cause severe irritability and wanting to curl up in a ball on your bed because you feel sick. And for me, it also causes severe fatigue. So not wanting to be where I am, just needing to retreat and curl up in a ball and sleep. So food also directly impacts that run away or run towards, aka emotional state. And food has a lot to do with it as well. So food directly impacts your emotional state. And of course, your experiences, the data you like, your brain is like a computer, and it takes in all of the data that it experiences through the five senses, and it relates it to the past data that you have processed in the past, and it performs little calculations. And, you know, the responses, the running away or the running towards. There you go. The beginning of my thesis. Hopefully one of you runs with that and gives me a researched answer. A researched answer to how valid that theory could be. All right, time to wake up from your boredom about my theories and join me in Swiping with Cindy. Let's do it. Welcome to the Swiping with Cindy segment. I am on plenty of fish right now, and I'm going to get swiping. Wait, what screen am I on? Oh, I'm on the It's Mutual screen, meaning that anyone who I've swiped right on who has also swiped me is on the screen, and there are some lovely gentlemen here. Lovely. And this one, his slogan on his profile is "Look no further." He's a carpenter in Camp Hill, Australia. He's a single man looking for a relationship, seeking a woman for long term. Oh, he's Irish. Oh, yes. I would love to hear that accent. I wonder if we have we chatted before. I'm not sure. Okay. He says, "I like to keep some way fit." That's great, because I really will find it very hard to date you if you don't keep fit. He likes relaxing and enjoying time away from work. He said, even though he's Irish, he's not a big drinker. That's great, because I'm not either. You know what? Instead of swiping so soon, let's write him a message. Okay, I'm going to write him a message. Ready? Oh, his name is Kevin. Hi, Kevin. I'm typing this on my iPad as I talk to you. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kevin, smiley face. How about I just send that and see if he's interested? Here, wait, I'll dictate to... Wait, can I dictate? I'm going to... I hate typing, so I'm just going to press the little dictation tool on my iPad, and it will type out what I say in the message to him. What do I want to say? Hi, Kevin, smiley face. Here we go. If you read my profile description and think we are on the same page, then please... Oh, wait, hold on. Siri is not listening to me. Instead of everything that I just said, it just typed U-T-A-N. All right, that's probably because it's hooked up to my Bluetooth speakers, so it's not really listening to me. All right, so now I have to type this. No, I'm just going to say, hi, Kevin. Forget all that. He can just read my profile description. Hopefully he's smart enough to do that. I assume he would be. He looks smart enough. Okay. All right, let's start swiping. Okay, here we go. The first gentleman. You know, I can tell from, you know, everyone has their different physical shapes that they're attracted to, right? I typically am not attracted to narrow shoulders. You know, when you imagine just the length from shoulder to shoulder, right? Compared proportionately to the size of the head. If the shoulder to shoulder width is narrow, that means that the head takes up a lot of the space between the shoulders. Broad shoulders is something I feel attracted to, where there's a lot of length between the shoulders. Now, that is a popular, attractive trait, yes, but hey, not everyone goes for that. Some people like the more narrow shoulders, but I don't. And this guy has very narrow shoulders, a very wide face and head. And since we're talking about sexual attraction, and you know from my previous episodes how important that is, because I have compromised that way too many times in the past and it has every single time turned sour, I'm not doing that again. Sexual attraction is a necessary component, not the whole story, absolutely, but it is a necessary part of the recipe, and it's not here, so I'm swiping left. Okay, the next one. Oh, there are two people in this photo. One of them, ooh, I just got a message from someone. I think this might be the Irish guy. So before I talk about the two people... Yes, the Irishman has written me. He said, hello, hello. He doesn't know I'm doing a podcast about this right now. So let me say, how's, I'm typing with one finger so I can hold the phone in one hand and type with the other. How's your evening going? There we go. How sweet. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was swiping. Okay, so back to the swiping screen. There are two people in this photo. One of them I find unattractive, especially because he has curly, long hair in the back of his head. And, well, actually, that in itself isn't really the problem. It just looks a little bit like a mullet. That's the problem. I don't know which of these two men is the guy. Ooh, no, he's the better looking one is the guy. So he is definitely getting a like, and I'll even send him a little smiley face. You know, it seems like a big deal that I like someone and send them a smiley face, but the statistics of a message, whether they send it to me or I send it to them, the statistics of it going anywhere past five messages is extremely low. And then once that goes somewhere, the messages back and forth, it can only go to a video chat because that's all that I will do nine out of 10 times. And then out of the video chat, only a very small percentage make it to a date. And then out of the dates, an even smaller percentage make it to a relationship. All right. So I sent him a smiley face smiley face. Let's see what happens. Sometimes my speaking gets lazy and I mess up my words. All right, well, the Irishman has written me back. He said, very good, thank you. How's yours going? Ah, okay. I shouldn't have said, how's your evening going? Because that was a bit small talkish, and small talk makes me crawl under my skin. Okay, how do I get this to something meaningful quickly? I'll say, before we get small talking, too much, may I ask, what are your thoughts about the details in my profile description? See, my iPad knows the questions that I ask, and it automatically suggested those words so that I didn't have to type them with my finger letter by letter. It actually automatically said, is this what you want to say? And I just didn't have to type it out. Okay. So there we go. I sent him a more meaningful question. Because my profile description has a lot of detail. It says exactly what I'm looking for. And it has taken, well, in the few years that I've been on dating apps, I've slowly refined how to say what I want and what to say on these dating app profiles so that I attract what I'm looking for and repulse what I don't want. And so let's see what he thinks of that. Okay, back to swiping. All right, I sent that lovely gentleman who was in a picture with someone else. I sent him a smiley face. This next one, oh, there's no full body shots, but I can tell that he has nice shoulders, like that shoulder width. He has a great shaped face. I'm a little worried about no full length, and there are only two photos, and one of them he has sunglasses. I would normally swipe right, but the one without sunglasses looks pretty decent, but it's a bit blurry. This is a semi-high risk. But he likes fitness. Oh, one of his interests is fitness. Okay. If that's the case, then I'm not ultra worried about the lack of a full-length picture. But I'm sure if we chat, then he will share one at my request, most likely. Let me send him a little smiley face as well. Here we go. Smile. Okay. All right. Right swipe for him. Next gentleman, narrow shoulders, very thin build. Look, if I met this guy, and he has sunglasses on, huge sunglasses on, and it's only one picture. So many reasons to not waste my time here. He's getting a left swipe. Next gentleman, lots of tattoos, looks a bit overweight, red aged skin, which would not necessarily be a deal breaker, just the combination of things going on here. Also, I'm just not attracted to that face type. He's going left. Next one, I've said this before, and this next gentleman is just smiling like a cheesy smile, and some people might like that. It just, all right, let me give him a chance. Let me look at the other photos. Oh no, it's in every photo, the cheesy smile. Why does it make me feel so uncomfortable? I don't know. But he's 6'4" anyway. Oh, he's a doctor. But he's 6'4" and he has this nerve-wracking smile. Oh, but he's into fitness. I don't know if I can comfortably date someone 6'4". I'm 5'4". And it becomes impractical when they're walking really fast next to me. Could it be that this guy who smiles the same big cheesy smile in every photo could possibly be calm and chilled and relaxed in person? I don't know. You know what? I'll give it a right swipe. Just to test and see if I'm wrong. I prefer someone who doesn't smile a lot, because usually when someone's smiling, it means they're nervous and it gives me nervous energy. But maybe this man is well educated and the smiles are really genuine just for the photos. Maybe he's not giving a nervous smile. But there are some doctors who give nervous smiles. There are. I've gone to them before. All right. Well, anyway, this is a test. I'm right swiping. Let's see what he says. Ooh, next photo. This gentleman definitely has nice broad shoulders. Some of his photos make him look like a little bit maybe goofy. goofy and not really fully here. Some of his facial expressions are like, I don't know what I'm doing kind of a face. Maybe he's not like that in person. But, that face is only in one of three photos of him, and two of the three photos, he looks fit, he looks serious. It's just that one goofy photo. I don't know if I said before that there are photos, plural, of him with the goofy face, but I apologize if I did. It's really only one. You know what? I'm going to right swipe, give him a chance. It's New Year's Eve. Let's be nice. I just won't write him. I'll let him write me. Oh, no. Okay, one more swipe, right or left here, and then I will end the Swiping with Cindy segment, because it is still New Year's Eve 2020. I only have 13 more minutes left for the year, and I want to, do I want to be on this podcast when the clock ticks over to the new year? No, I think I want to end it. Keep this podcast in 2020. Okay. The last swipe. Oh no, there's someone taking a picture of him in the reflection, I can see. And he's holding a teacup. He's wearing what some Americans would call a wife beater. Oh no. And in the next photo, it looks like he's in a uniform. Is that a cop's uniform? Is that a police? I don't know what kind of uniform that is, but it's a nice uniform. Let's see if he says what. Oh, a fireman. Oh, yes, sir. You're getting a right swipe. You're fit. You have a uniform. Who knows if your personality will be a match with mine, or your future life vision, or, you know, your values. But on this just first impression, yes, you're getting a right swipe, Mr. Fireman. And that brings me to the end of my swiping. The Irishman just wrote me back again. Oh. Remember, just a few minutes ago, I said, before we get small talking, may I ask what are your thoughts about the details of my profile description? And did I just say that too quickly for you? Anyway, when I asked that to him, now he just replied, funny girl. Can you just hear I can hear the Irish accent saying that. So he thinks I'm a funny girl. It's because I know what I want. Some guys really like that, and they say, oh, your profile is so refreshing. And other guys are like, wow, you're intense. And sometimes they say, yeah, you're right, I am intense. Because I am. Well, this guy thinks I'm funny. That's good. All right, it's now the end of Swiping with Cindy, and it's the end of Mrs. Impossible altogether. I hope to have another podcast episode tomorrow, which is the first of the year 2020, which would be my episode number 10. Let's see if it happens. Until then, thank you for listening. If you want to chat with me or have any comments or questions or anything at all, find me on MrsImpossible.com, MrsImpossible.com. All right. Take good care of yourselves, guys. See you soon. I'll end with a little bling.